ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवतां नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवती अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्धधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी नमोऽस्तु ते व्यासविशालबुद्धे पुल्लारविन्दाय तपत्रनेत्र येन त्वया भारततैलपूर्णः प्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमयप्रदीपः प्रपन्नपारिजाताय स्तोत्रवेत्रैकपाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दुग्धा गोपालनन्दनः पार्थो वत्सुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचाणूरमर्दनम् देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं भीष्मद्रोणतटा जयद्रथजला गान्धारनीलोत्पला शल्यग्राहवती कृपेण वहनि कर्णेण वेलाकुला अश्वत्थामविकर्णघोरमकरा दुर्योधनावर्तिनी सोतीर्णा खलु पाण्डवैरननदी कैवर्तकेशवः पाराशर्यवचः सरोजममलं गीतार्थगन्धोत्कटम् नानाख्यानकेसरं हरिकथा सम्बोधनाबोधितम् लोके सज्जनषट्पदैरहरः पेपीयमानं मुदा भूयाद्भारतपङ्कजं कलिमल प्रध्वंसि न श्रेयसे मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवं यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः सुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगा ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विदुःसुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः சதாசிவசமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சார்ய மத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சார்ய பர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம். ஓம் சோ இன் த லாஸ்ட் கிளாஸ் வி வர் ஆக்சுவலி லுக்கிங் அட் த ஃபோர் டைப்ஸ் ஆஃப் பக்தி and I thought we could do a quick recap so that you know we don't you know forget the concept of you know what we did in the last class, right? So let's quickly go over it. The first type of bhakti, right, that we saw was artha bhakti, right? If you recall, that was the first one, the first type of bhakti, and I was telling you that it's like kind of a commercial bhakti where the bhakta or the devotee prays to God saying that you solve my problem and I will do something in return, right? And there is always an endless list in the grihastha ashrama, right? And we constantly go to God in for solving some problem or the other. So that is the first one, or the artha bhakti. Then there is a second bhakti called Artharthi Bhakti, right? Very important, Artharthi, right? And Artharthi Bhakti is slightly better than this, but however, here also you sort of go to the temple and say, okay, I'm going to start a new venture, it must succeed, I'm, you know, going to write this exam, so I'm keeping my hall ticket in front of the God, or, you know, here is the pen that I'm going to use, let me be successful, etc., right? So this is the second form of bhakti, which is artharthi bhakti, right? And then the third one, right, is jignyasu bhakti, which I was telling that Lord Krishna is going to cover in detail in the seventh chapter, right? And it is utilizing bhakti for spiritual growth, right? So suppose I want to, you know, make sure that raga, bhaya, krodha, all of these slowly come down, and again acquire all the spiritual qualifications, then I would actually need to pray to God as a true karma yogi. So that would become a jignyasu bhakti, right? And that is used for spiritual growth and spiritual progress. And Lord Krishna calls this jignyasu bhakti, right? And of course, Krishna speaks about the fifth form, the fourth form of bhakti also, which is the jnani bhakti, right? Now, the jnani bhakti has attained spiritual success, right? So, he has already attained whatever he needs to attain, that is moksha. And he is already having total fulfillment. He doesn't need anything from God, right? But he is ever grateful to God for his fulfillment, right? So, now amongst these types of bhakti, we were discussing about which is the superior one, right? We talked about that. Right? Now Krishna says, when a person is an artha bhakta and artharthi bhakta, he is using bhakti for limited and finite gains of life, because compared to spiritual fulfillment, all the worldly accomplishments are nothing. Why? Because they are subject to arrival and departure, gain and loss. So therefore, Lord Krishna says, artha bhakti and artharthi bhakti is underutilization for bhakti, right? Now, because a bhakti which can get you moksha itself is definitely a superior gain, and I'm utilizing it for smaller accomplishments. We were discussing the example of using sandalwood to cook your food, right? Or bringing water all the way from Gangotri and using it to wash clothes in the house, right? So, artha bhakta and artharthi bhaktas are unintelligent bhaktas, whereas jignyasu bhakta is one who uses the bhakti for spiritual growth. And having said that, Krishna says, once you have understood these four forms of bhakti, what type of bhakti you want is your choice. I will not impose. I don't want to enforce any bhakti. I just want to educate you that there are four types of bhaktis, which is the intelligent version, which is the foolish version. I will teach you, but after teaching, I'm giving you the option. If you want to become artha and artha arthi bhakti, then I will approach you and bless you appropriately. If you choose a higher goal, then I will bless you according to that, right? Choice is not with Bhagavan, but the choice is with the bhaktas. And as I said, Lord Krishna also has a complaint of a different form. Basically, 99% of humanity would fall only in the first two categories. A very small number of people will come under the Jignyasu Bhakti, those who, like, you know, you and others who are interested in Vedanta classes, etc., will come under Jignyasu Bhakti, who value this teaching so much. And of course, it's a minuscule number who are Jnani Bhaktis, Bhaktas, right? So, group 3 itself is very small, group 4 is even further small, right? So, those who are in 1 and 2, that is Artha and Artharthi Bhakti, they will continue to be in the cycle of samsara. They cannot get rid of Raga, Bhaya and Krodaha, right? They have not utilized Bhakta for that. Therefore, they continue to be full of attachment. And the Bhakti has not helped in reducing the anger because we have not utilized that Bhakti for refinement, right? Very important. Or for acquiring Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampatti or specifically Shamadhi Shatka Sampatti, which is the sixfold discipline, right? So, Krishna says, with whatever motive a Bhakta approaches me, as a Artha Bhakta, Artharthi Bhakta, Jignyasu Bhakta or Jnani Bhakta, I take care of him in the same manner. So, I was also saying that we will do this in detail in chapter 7. The reference of the shloka is given here. Chaturvidha bhajante maam jana sukriti nor jana juna artha jignyasur artharthi jnani cha bharatarshava. Right? So, what Krishna says is, when the artha bhakta comes to me, I cannot give him spiritual growth. Why? Because he does not seek spiritual growth. Like a parent asking a baby, right? It might sound very stupid, but it is very important. The parent has a gold biscuit and a local biscuit, say a Mari biscuit or whatever. One is gold, right? And we know the cost of gold. So maybe it is 10 grams or some, you know, so it is about 3 lakh rupees or say, about 8 grams, whatever it is, 8 grams, 10 grams, maybe much lesser or 100 grams, right? So, there is a gold biscuit. Now, when the parent approaches the child and says, which one do you want? The baby obviously will take the biscuit that the child wants to eat, the baby or the child. So, mother holds both in front of the baby and is asking the baby to pick up. Now, this is okay as long as the child is a child, right? At some point in time, the very same child at the age of 30, if he's going to ask the mother, give me Mari biscuit instead of gold biscuit, it means the child is not using the intellect. Similarly, we can also be babies seeking Mari biscuit until the age of, 50, 60, 70, whatever. But at some point in time, we need to graduate out of Artha and Artharthi Bhakti and move on to Jignyasu Bhakti, right? So, the gold biscuit here is Moksha and the local biscuit is Artha and Artharthi, Artha Prapti, right? So, very, very important. So, the mother will give the local biscuit initially and pray to God that the child will eventually grow up. Similarly, our gurus also pray that we eventually grow out of the basic bhakti and move towards more mature bhakti, which will give us the ultimate goal, right? So, Krishna says, E yata maam prapadyante, as they approach me, depending upon their category, aham bhajami, I will act accordingly. Even if I give better and superior thing to them, they will not appreciate the value, right? The bhakta will throw it away, right? Just like maybe the child will throw away the gold biscuit, right? But Bhagavan says, all of them are my bhaktas only, Manushyaha, they're all human beings and I take care of them. Mama Vartmanu Vartante, right? they are practicing bhakti as prescribed by me in the scriptures. All the four bhaktis, artha, artharthi, all of them have been prescribed in the scriptures, then they are all valid bhaktis only, right? So, shastro bhakti margaha, so I vartmanu vartante, which means they are following sarvashaha under all conditions, whether it is artha, artharthi or any other form of bhakti, I am okay. I have prescribed these. Depending on their maturity, they would follow it and I would also bless them, right? So, whoever approaches me with any desire, I bless them with that desire itself. So, Arjuna, people follow my path by all means, right? Continuing. Kaṅkṣantak karmanām siddhim. Kaṅkṣantak karmanām siddhim. Yajantaiha devatah, shipram himanushe loke, shipram himanushe loke, siddhir bhavati karmaja, siddhir bhavati karmaja. Here, Lord Krishna gives the reason to show why majority of people choose artha or artharthi bhakti, right? And very few people choose bhakti for inner spiritual growth. He gives the reason, right? The benefit of artha and artharthi bhakti will come quickly. The time taken for the fructification of the first two bhaktis is shorter because it is a grosser benefit we seek. Whereas jignyasu bhakti is utilized for inner growth, transformation of the mind and refinement of the mind. Reduction of bhayam, anger, hatred, etc. It is not going to come that easily because the result, this bhakti will take a long time for the result to come, whereas the first two categories will give benefit quickly. Exactly like in allopathy, you take pills and treat yourself for immediate cure. Whereas in Ayurveda or yoga, it is a long-term cure. You have to practice regularly a particular asana or you have to have a lehyam or oil bath for a long period of time for it to take action. So, artha and artharthi are like allopathy and jignyasu bhakti is like Ayurveda, which is trying to solve the problem fundamentally. So, here Lord Krishna says, karmanam siddhim kaṅkṣantaḥ. The people are interested in quicker solutions by practicing special rituals, special pujas, by taking vows and visiting special temples for special problems. Right? For instance, 7 Tuesdays you go and burn oil lamp in the temple, or you go 7 times to this temple, your daughter will get married, etc. Right? Or go for 3 pradoshams to the Shiva temple, something will happen. That is why there is so much of crowd in the temples, right? Now, it is good news in a way because there is increase of bhaktas under some other category at least. There is tremendous increase in the first two categories, right? So, Krishna says, karmanam siddhim kaṅkṣantaḥ. Interested in worldly benefit, there are people for they use devotional exercises or puja. Iha devatāha yajantaḥ. They worship various versions of the God, even though God is one. You have God present in that temple, like, you know, there is a local Venkatachalapati temple here in Tinagar, which is very famous. And in fact, on Saturday, the queue stands on the road for at least a kilometer, right? And similarly, in Chennai, there's also a Shabarimala Ayyappan temple, which is again a replica of the Shabarimala temple, right? So, we have different Guru Ayyappan. So, even the main one as well as the other ones all have same kind of crowd, right? Because these are temples where people pray for immediate benefit, go and perform puja and come. Right? Devataha yajantaha. They worship and also they say, you have to do this, only then I will give you this, right? In return. So, very important point is, it is immediate result, right? Now, if you go to the scriptures and you understand the real nature of God, the Arupa Ishvara or Vishwarupa Ishvara, and we can remove our ignorance through our scriptures, then we will understand the value of Jignyasu Bhakti, right? So, initially, in our tradition, right, we are supposed to start with study of scripture, which is actually emphasized. But we do everything except understanding what is puja, bhakti, bhagavan, how bhakti must be utilized properly. So, manushe loke, in the human world, in the bhuloka, karmaja siddhihi, the result of artha bhakti or artharthi bhakti is quicker, and therefore we proceed with this instead of the actual prayer which will give you jnana vairagya siddhyartham. Annapurne sadapurne shankara pranavallabe jnana vairagya siddhyartham viksham dehita parvati. If we understand the true meaning of this and worship, we will get jnana vairagyam, right? Jnana vairagyam will, a prayer will lead us to jignasu bhakti, and thereafter it will help us in attaining moksha, right? So, here the meaning of this verse is desiring the results of action, quick results, they worship gods. Now note the word gods here, plural, right? Generally, the word God with capital G is used for the Ishvara, the Parameshwara, right? Which is the Arupa, Vishwarupa, Ishvara, or the higher order of reality. For the results born of action comes quickly in this world of human being. Next verse. Chaturvarnyam maya srishtam. Chaturvarnyam maya srishtam. Gunakarma vibhagashah. Gunakarma vibhagashah. Tasya kartaram api maam. Tasya kartaram api maam. Vidya kartaram avyayam. Vidya kartaram avyayam. Now, here, a very important topic Lord Krishna comes to. He says, I have designed a special scheme for the human beings for the practice of karma yoga and jnana yoga, through which one will contribute to the society and also contribute to one's spiritual growth. I have designed a special scheme, right? What is that scheme, right? We call it Varna Vyavastha, and Krishna calls it Chatur Varnyam, right? Now, we covered this in introduction to Vedanta, topics 3 and 4, right? I'm going to cover partially here anyway, so that we all recall, right? If you want, you can go back to that session and see. So, Varna Vyavastha means the scheme of social classification or division. By dividing the entire society into four groups, I have taken care of this Varna Vyavastha. Even though Bhagavan has designed Chaturvarnyam or Varna Vyavastha for the benefit of every individual, right, and the society, unfortunately, the Varna Vyavastha was not utilized properly. And it became the notorious caste system of Hinduism, right? When originally it is Varna Vyavastha, it was a fantastic scheme, right? We will see how Krishna is speaking about Guna Karma Vibhagashaha and nowhere speaking about Jati, right? Now, it can be utilized properly for constructive purpose or it can become destructive also, right? So, Lord Krishna says, this Varna Vyavastha is designed by me only, and I have divided the entire society into four groups based on character or personality of every individual, right? We all have got our own personality or character which decides our aptitude in choosing a profession or occupation. Whenever we have to choose a profession to contribute in the society, the occupation must be in keeping with my attitude, right? Otherwise, if the occupation and attitude are not in conformity, then there will be no conformity between my job and my attitude. And Sunday, I will feel so miserable because Monday becomes a nightmare and I don't want to go to office. I have to drag myself when there is no conformity between aptitude, attitude and occupation. There is stress, and when the stress increases, it spoils the health, right? So, you have to choose an occupation, Krishna talks about it, in keeping with your mental makeup, which is called Gunaha or Swabhavaha, right? Now, there is a way in which the classification has happened, right? Guna vibhagaha, right? All the different characters possible are broadly classified into four types. Aptitude 1, 2, 3 and 4. We will call it A1, A2, A3 and A4. Right? In Sanskrit, guna 1, 2, 3 and 4. Now, guna karma vibhagataha means four characters having four different aptitudes. Now, A1 is, if you see the order there, I have written sattva, rajo and tamo. Right? So, sattva is the dominant one and then rajoguna is intermediary and tamoguna is minimal. So, SRT means A1, the first aptitude is sattva guna pradana followed by rajoguna and tamoguna. Right? Now, take the next one, A2. It is rajoguna pradana, that is very high. Second is sattva, third is tamo. Character 2, personality. Right? Now, the third one is A3. It is again rajoguna personality is the maximum there. But tamo is intermediary and sattva is the least. And the fourth one, the fourth aptitude is tamoguna based personality predominantly with rajo and then sattva. Sattva very less, right? Now, how can I understand what will be the symptoms or expressions if a person has A1, A2, A3 and A4, right? So, that is the first one is a spiritual personality, right? A personality in which one gravitates towards spirituality primarily. The one who loves spiritual pursuits, contemplation, pursuit of ultimate reality, that alone appeals to the mind. While all the other things in life, which is the other people consider as very, very important, for this personality, they appear insignificant or even silly. Such a spiritually oriented, contemplative, silence-loving, solitude-loving, inquiry-loving personality or trait is called Guna Brahmanatvam. Right? So, that's the first one, the spiritual personality. Such a person is called Guna Brahmana and Sannyasa appeals to such a person. Renunciation appeals to such a mind. While for other people, solitude appears as terrible loneliness, a dreadful, depressing loneliness, this mind just enjoys solitude. So, this we will call it as the spiritual personality. This is the type A1, right? And whoever enjoys this trait is called a Guna Brahmana. And Swamiji always gives this example that on a Sunday evening, he conducts actually classes in the evening between 6 and 7. So, he would always say, instead of going out somewhere on a Sunday, if the 300-400 people who are attending the class are motivated enough to come and spend week after week every Sunday from 6 to 7, you yourself fall under this personality, a spiritual personality where sattva guna is dominating. Then the second personality is a dynamic personality, but selflessly motivated mind, right? Which loves activity, right? Just the opposite of the previous, outgoing, active, planning, energetic, dynamic, highly motivated mind. And this motivation itself is selfless motivation. That is interested in activities, but not self-centered activity. Not selfish dynamism, but interested in contribution, serving and uplifting the society. Such a selflessly motivated mind is called Guna Kshatriya mind, a personality which heavily contributes to the material progress of the society. So, we call it Guna Kshatriya, right? In English, this selflessly motivated mind, this is the type A2. Then there is a third type of personality which is also equally dynamic. Both the previous one and present one cannot imagine solitude. They cannot think of withdrawal, cannot think of sannyasa, right? In fact, they get angry, right? But the third personality, they get angry with, you know, if you say sannyasa is good, etc. But in the third personality, is also highly dynamic, motivated personality, cannot sit quietly for a moment, cannot think of silence, cannot think of solitude. However, the big difference is they're highly self-centered. So, it is selfishly motivated personality. So, every activity has to produce the benefit only for me and my family. I would like to amass wealth. I will not think of contributing to society, but I am highly active. So this mind is called Guna Vaishya mind, right? In English, we can refer to this as selfishly motivated and dynamic mind, right? So Guna Brahmana, Guna Kshatriya and Guna Vaishya. And the fourth one is a passive personality, a lethargic, passive, motivationless personality where there is no motivation to do anything new, right? Either for material success or for spiritual success. There is no Purushartha appeal, that is Dharma, Artha, Kama and Moksha. All of them do not appeal. The mere goal of life is eating, surviving and then finally passing away, right? A mind that is very, very close to animalistic mind. So a lethargic, passive, motivational personality is the fourth type of personality, which we will call the Guna Shudra personality. Now, what personality trait makes me a Guna Brahmana or Kshatriya or Vaishya or Shudra is dependent on where we fit in, each person, right? That is the Guna Vibhagaha, right? So, that is what we saw. So, Guna Brahmana is Sattva Pradana personality. Guna Kshatriya is Shuddha Raja personality. Guna Vaishya is Ashuddha Raja personality. And of course, Guna Shudra is Tama Pradana personality. Now, when you say Ashuddha Raja Pradana personality, we are talking about the Ashuddhi being in the form of total selfishness, right? That is the important one. The fourth one is Tama Pradana personality, right? And these are the four norms based on which we have the Guna Vibhagaha, right? So, we can sort of think about this, reflect and see where we, each one of us, fall, right? And the profession we choose, it should be chosen carefully, right? Now, certain professions can lead to spiritual downfall. See, even marriage and friendship, everything, we have to consider our play of gunas and only then find a partner, right? Otherwise, we will have mismatch. Your education and specialization also is based on this. Like, if you pursue pure academic career, right, according to your nature, then you will not suffer from conflicts and stress and you will have better chances of succeeding in your professional career. Now, on parenting also, parenting have to help their children cultivate the predominance of sattva so that when they grow up, they will not only have pleasant and positive personalities, but also right discretion in making their choices. And food and lifestyle also, to a large extent, actually has an influence on sattva also. Sattva is known to improve the vigor and the brilliance of the mind and the body. They say certain types of food, right? Definitely non-vegetarian. And there is onion, garlic, etc., which are not conducive to a sattva-based personality. If you're serious about cultivating a sattva-based personality and want to take up scriptural studies, etc., or you want the children also to get directed towards this, then those kind of food must be avoided, right? And prayers also have to be towards sattva devata. There are some devatas which are, you know, very different, like where you offer sacrifice, animal sacrifice, etc. So those can be avoided and we can pray to, neutral kind of soft God. And of course, then move on to Vishwarupa and Arupa Ishwar. Right? Now, so first one we saw was Guna-based Vibhagaha. Now we are seeing a profession-based classification, Karma Vibhagaha, right? So, Karma Brahmana life is confined to scriptures, right? So, the next form is Karma Vibhagaha, as I said, and the most important one which is being neglected these days is scriptural learning and teaching. Scriptural teaching primarily is a very, very important work which requires specialization and dedicated pursuit. It required at least about 15 to 16 years of dedicated pursuit. Our scriptures are too big and the initial years, they would only make the children get by heart. And much later, because we never had written books or textbooks or any of them, right? So, by extensive, It covers, you know, various topics: philosophy, ethics, rituals, astrology, grammar, etc. And it is equally intensive. And then there are commentaries which go deeper into the text. And then we have sub-commentaries, right? Sometimes we even have 7 generations of commentaries, right? So many layers. And then you have to study Sanskrit in the first place, right? If we have attempted Sanskrit, we will know that itself is a separate, you know, journey. Then once you learn Sanskrit, and then you want to learn the scriptures in original form, right? Sometimes translations are very, very bad, right? So to complete the 700 verses of the Gita itself, it takes roughly about 6 to 7 years if you want to do the Sanskrit word by word, anvayam, and then understand. Now we are doing verse by verse in English, right? If you want to go to Shankara Bhashyam and actually take each word and understand and do it, this is a 6 to 7 year period, right? So, therefore, the whole society cannot dedicate their life to the study of scriptures. We required a separate group which specialized on that. And that group, right, was called the Karma Brahmana, right? They spent their time on scriptural learning and teaching, Sanskrit study, and they also focused full time on this, right? And they spent all their time memorizing, and then after memorizing, Veda Adhyayanam, Veda Adhyapanam, Veda Parayanam, and of course, interpretation. Now, why is interpretation important? What is said 100 years ago may not be relevant now, right? So, somebody apparently asked Swamiji about electric crematorium, right? Can he go to electric crematorium to do the Anteshti Karma, right? So, the answer cannot be given by everybody, right? So, we need learned people in the society who will actually go and look at, you know, the aspects and look at the current age also and give an answer, right? Like, for instance, somebody is doing Shardam in America. What should the city be, right? I observe that actually the city comes ahead by almost a day because I think they don't want to do it after the Indian city. I don't understand the reason, but there are people who have advised on how it should be done. So this is called interpretation. Now we need such people who are not only learned but will also do this for the modern society, right? So very, very important is this group called Karma Brahmana who will do that, right? And they obviously were not looking at the income at all. So, the society had to support them also, right? Very important. Then the second type of profession or job which is respected even now, which is there very much alive, is all forms of public service and administration of the country, governing the society, maintenance of the law and order, policing the society, defending the country, right? And making sure that, you know, there is no robbery, etc., right? That is Karma Kshatriya, right? And you can also, all the ministers, right? Those days, kings, ministers, politicians, all of them come under Karma Kshatriya, right? And they are supposed to follow the code or dharma assigned to them, right? And the third one is Karma Vaishya, right? This is all forms of commercial activities, business, trade, for wealth, profession, everything, right? And then comes the fourth and final, which is all forms of labor. Unskilled, semi-skilled labor, where the person does not think, plan, rationalize or anything, but there's a whole lot of service that is required, right? So, there is no independent thinking, but service to the other three groups so that they can keep the infrastructure running. That is a very, very important work because the infrastructure cannot run without people who are serving, right? So, both unskilled and semi-skilled labor came under this activity, and that is what we referred as Karma Shudra. So, the first one was Guna Vibhagaha and the second one is Karma Vibhagaha, right? Now, the next one is the birth-based classification, and gradually what the Shastra says is from an A4 or A3 or A2 kind of personality, because most people will not be born an A1 kind of personality. Obviously, that's a very, very small percentage. So, may you gradually refine yourself and slowly move from, say, A4, A3 or A3 to A2 and then A2 to A1 in terms of your character, right? Even though this was the original vision of the Veda, right? And our occupation was also supposed to be based on attitude only. This is what was envisaged. Gradually, a big change took place in the Vedic society and the attitude was not taken into account. Very sad. Gradually, it became hereditary. Instead of occupation being based on aptitude and attitude, right, as Lord Krishna says here, guna karma vibhaga, gradually Hindu society changed and it became based on birth or heredity. Therefore, it became jati karma vibhaga. From guna karma vibhaga, gradually it became jati karma. Jati means hereditary. A businessman's son took to business. Politician's man took to politics. Right? So it continued like that. Right? And this is how the caste system came. Because after some time, heredity became more prominent than guna. Right? So slowly you find a... Then after that, you find actually a person who is born in the Brahmin family. He no longer has sattva guna. He is a Brahmin by birth but does not have sattva guna. Even during Mahabharata time, we see this discrepancy. There are very famous examples. Vishwamitra was a born Kshatriya, but by guna he was a Brahmana. So he became a Brahmarishi, right? He gave the most sacred mantra of the Veda, the Gayatri mantra, right? It was not given by a Jati Brahmana. It was given by Vishwamitra, who was a born Kshatriya. On the other hand, we have Dronacharya, who was a born Brahmana. He became a great archer. He took part in the Mahabharata war, which is not a job of a Brahmana. Thus, gradually, the discrepancy became more and more pronounced, and then the caste system came, which created problem. Now, slowly, we have to get back to the original Vedic concept, which is guna karma vibhagatah. So, we have to take an occupation in keeping with our attitude. Whatever be the occupation, you can serve the society with a karma yoga attitude and purify yourself. So, Krishna says, Chaturvanyam, original Varna Vyavastha, right? With all good intention, I only created. I never thought this will become such a problem. Maya Srishtam, based on not at all jati, but guna karma vibhagashah. Profession based on attitude. Tasya kartaram api mam. I created it. Then he comes back to the original topic. What is that? I am the doer of this activity as the Lord, as the cause of Shishti, Sthiti, Laya, Karanam. And I myself have created the Vedas also. I have created the karma, the Varna Vyavastha also. And from that standpoint, I am a karta. Right? Mama tasya kartaram viti. So, know me as the karta. Then Lord Krishna says, even though I am karta from the standpoint of my body-mind complex, really speaking from the standpoint of my real nature, atma drishtyam, aham akarta, vidya kartaram avyayam, right? Am I the karta or akarta? Deha drishtya aham karta, that is from my body standpoint, I am the karta. Atma drishtya, from Atma's viewpoint, I am akarta, right? So, therefore here avyayam means immortal, changeless, akarta, Atma. So, the meaning of this is the fourfold division of society has been created by me based upon guna and karma. Know me to be its author, also know me to be the non-doer and changeless. So, when he says, know me to be the author, it is from the body angle. And also, know me to be the non-doer and changeless, that's from Atma angle. Right? By now, I think slowly you need to understand that we are talking of two different planes. One is the Vyavaharika plane, where Krishna as a person, Krishna speaks about the body and he is present now. And from the Paramarthika plane, he lifts himself, right, as the God. It's very important to note this because even in last class, somebody had, posted saying, am I Jiva? Am I Brahman? Am I God? Right? The answer, by now, we should be heading towards it. Not saying we will all understand and have Nishtha in one day, but there are different planes, right? and what is meant by Aikyam, we will see again and again. Slowly, we will understand that when we say all three are one, we are talking about the higher nature, which is Atma. Very, very important. Continuing. Namam karmani limpanti. Namam karmani limpanti. Name karma phale spriha. Name karma phale spriha. Iti mamyo bhijanati. Iti mamyo bhijanati. Karma bhirna sabhadyate. Karma bhirna sabhadyate. Okay. Here, Lord Krishna says, may you use the trick that I have used, right? The same trick is available for you also, right? This is not one of the means to transcend this karma. This is only means available. If you don't come to jnana, you will be helplessly trapped in the so-called merry-go-round, which later becomes obviously sorry-go-round in the words of Swamiji, right? Imagine there is a huge giant wheel and you get into that for a pleasure ride. We don't know how to switch it off. We are trapped in a giant wheel. We enjoy it, it is fine. We don't know how to stop. It's a big problem. Here also, we are trapped in the giant wheel. If you want to get rid of it, you use the trick I do. Karmani mamna limpanti. Karmas don't taint me. What karma? Both punya karma as well as papa karma. Not only that, name karma phale spriha. I don't have a craving for karma phalam also, right? Neither the karma will affect me, nor do I have a craving for karma phala in the form of name, fame, award, higher birth, swarga, nothing. Why? Because there is no craving. Because jnanam has given absolute sense of fulfillment. Therefore, I am absolutely home with myself. If at all I act in the world, it is not for the sake of joy, right? I act in the world with joy itself, right? I am not stressed, right? I am not worried about whether the expected joy will come or not, because I know it is unpredictable. Jnanam has given me that comfort that I act not for Purnatvam, but I act with Purnatvam, right? I think I mentioned this 5-day match series. It's like having won the first 3 matches, playing the 4th and 5th match, right? So it's very important that we are, winning will give joy, obviously, right? The 4th and 5th match, but loss will not disturb. Disturbance due to loss will not be deeper, and the inner fulfillment will serve as a shock absorber. Similarly, jnani will also go through successes and failure in life, but they cannot cause any deep dent or scar in the mind. Because already that Purnatvam has been accomplished. Therefore, Lord Krishna says, I don't have a craving. I enjoy what I do. Iti mam yobi janati. Thus, if we understand, right, that Bhagavan is free, not because he is Bhagavan, right? We should not think that way. Freedom does not come because of his Bhagavan status. Bhagavan status also will have several problems, right? If you interview as a person, say Parvati or, you know, say Vishnu or anybody, right? They will have their own complaints about their spouses, right? Not that they will not have complaints, right? I'm sure Parvati may say, oh, Shiva doesn't know how to dress himself very well and, you know, go out with him for parties, etc. It's quite possible. But Bhagavan is not having fulfillment because he is Bhagavan. Because he is Sarvajnaha. He knows that his Bhagavan status will not give him freedom. He is Akarta and Abhokta. The Atma Jnanam has given my freedom, not the Bhagavan status. Similarly, for human being also, we must remember it is Jiva status, right? Which is ignorance that is causing the bondage. If you gain Jnanam, remaining a Jiva, you can also enjoy the same freedom as Bhagavan does, right? Iti mam yobi janati. Iti, one who understands Bhagavan is muktaha because of Atma jnanam, karma birnasa badyate. That person will come to Jnanam, and being a Jiva through Jnanam, he will become Jivan Muktaha, right? Karma Bhirnasa Vadyate. So, the actions do not affect me. I have no craving with regard to the result of action. Thus, he who clearly knows me is not bound by actions. The previous verse, he spoke about Satur Varnyam Srishtaha. He is the one who has created everything. So, he spoke as Karta. So, he is now telling that I as Bhagavan actually know that I am really not a Karta. I am Akarta Abhokta. Right? Very, very important verse.
Evam jnatva kritam karma, evam jnatva kritam karma, purvairapi mumukshubihi, purvairapi mumukshubihi, kuru karmaiva tasmatvam, kuru karmaiva tasmatvam, purvai purvatarakritam, Urvai Purvataram Kritam.
Now, therefore, Arjuna, you have to note that action is not the cause of either bondage or liberation. Similarly, inaction is not the cause of bondage or liberation. It is spiritual ignorance that is the cause of bondage. Right? Very, very important message here. So, it's the spiritual knowledge that is going to give us the inner freedom. As long as spiritual ignorance is there, action will be a burden, right? And retiring from action, inaction will also become a burden. Time will be hanging and I will not know what to do. It can be killing. If I am spiritually ignorant, action also will disturb me, and inaction also after retirement, life, we think that will be wonderful. No. Even after that, the inaction can become a big problem, right? So, if spiritual knowledge is there, I am free with action also, I am free without action also. I don't blame either action or inaction, but we need to attack the root cause, which is self-ignorance. Therefore, Lord Krishna says, evam jnatva, having understood this truth, what truth? Spiritual knowledge alone is the means of liberation. Karma kritam, people have performed karma, aiming spiritual knowledge as the ultimate goal. Karma kritam, they have engaged themselves in activity for what? For purifying the mind first and later on gaining knowledge. Mumukshubihi, the spiritual seekers have worked for this. Life problem, right, is not a simple problem or a health or a family problem. According to scriptures, the fundamental problem of life is spiritual problem, right? The samsara problem. Now, if the spiritual problem is solved, then I will not look upon the other problems as problems. The problems will continue, like aging, right? You can look upon aging as a problem. With wisdom, what do you do? You look upon aging as natural, inevitable process. Death also, you can look upon it as a problem, or you can look upon it as a natural, necessary process. Only when the current generation vacates, the next generation can come, right? Thus, one spiritual problem is solved, all other problems will remain as it is, but I don't look upon them as problems. My attitude towards them has changed, right? Very, very important. If family members don't agree with me, I will not call it a problem anymore, right? I will say, okay, they are having different views, so they are like that. Right? It is not a matter to be complained about. Right? That is very, very important. Therefore, mumukshu bihi purvarapi karma kritam. Arjuna, Mahabharata battle is also a natural consequence of different minds with different views. Duryodhana could not be changed by anyone, including Bhagavan himself. Right? And they kept on saying, you should not fight, you should not do this, but they never listened. Right? So, prarabdham has to get exhausted, go through with it. Therefore, tasmatvam karmaiva kuru. Go on doing what you have to do. Remember, I have a contributory free will, but I don't have a controlling free will. Very important. Contributory free will with which I can influence outcomes, but I don't have controlling free will. I can advise others, but I cannot take a decision for others. அர்ஜுனா, குரு கர்மைவ பூர்வைஹி பூர்வதரம் கிருதம். கர்மா வித் தி ப்ரீவியஸ் ரூலர்ஸ் டிட், யுவர் ஓன் ஃபோர் ஃபாதர்ஸ் ஆல்சோ டிட் தீஸ், ரைட். சோ ஹேவிங் நோன் தட் ஆக்ஷன் ஹஸ் பீன் பர்ஃபார்ம் பை த ஏன்ஷியன்ட் சீக்கர்ஸ் ஆஃப் லிபரேஷன் ஆல்சோ, ரைட். சோ தேர்ஃபோர் பர்ஃபார்ம் ஆக்ஷன் ஓன்லி விச் ஹஸ் பீன் டன் ஃபார்மர்லி பை த ஏன்ஷியன்ட். சோ கண்டினியூ த சேம் வே, இட் இஸ் த மீனிங் ஆஃப் தி ஸ்லோகா, ரைட்.
கிம் கர்ம கிம கர்மேதி, கிம் கர்ம கிம கர்மேதி கவயோப்யத்ர மோஹிதாஹ, கவயோப்யத்ர மோஹிதாஹ தத்தே கர்ம ப்ரவக்ஷ்யாமி, தத்தே கர்ம ப்ரவக்ஷ்யாமி யஜ்ஞாத்வா மோக்ஷ்யசே சுபாத், யஜ்ஞாத்வா மோக்ஷ்யசே சுபாத்.
In these few verses, right, the 16th and 17th verse, Krishna introduces a technical topic called karma and akarma. We will actually see this in detail in the next class. These words have got highly, you know, they have spiritual significance. If you take the dictionary meaning, karma is action, physical, vocal, mental action is called karma, and of course destiny is also called karma. We are not using karma in that meaning, but karma as an action which has got a loaded meaning, right? But karma in shastra has a different meaning, and akarma has also got a different meaning. Arjuna, you should understand the philosophical significance of the word karma and akarma. In fact, spiritual wisdom means understanding the philosophical significance, which Lord Krishna will talk about in verse 18, right? A very pithy verse, right, and a mischievous kind of verse. We will go into it, and for that he gives an introduction in these two shlokas. And most people normally don't understand the significance of these two words, but we will get into the details in the next class, and we will do that, because it's a new topic. I don't want to start that now, right? So next class we will see the action and inaction in detail.
ஓம் பூர்ணமத பூர்ணமிதம் பூர்ணாத் பூர்ணமுதச்யதே பூர்ணஸ்ய பூர்ணமாதாய பூர்ணமேவாவசிஷ்யதே. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்திஹ.
I just wanted to make an announcement that on 19th May and 26th May, we will have no class. So I've put it up here anyway in the schedule in the last slide. You can take a look at it as once it's uploaded. Now we can take questions in case anybody has any questions. You can put up your hand or you can... Okay, I can see Mohana.
Namaskara Mahodaya. When we were doing the prayer one, where it is Gavaha, but you said Gavo. What is that rule? Because I'm having this problem. Yesterday I was reading Bhagavatam with the group, and there we were discussing. One was saying Gava, one was saying Gavo. You know, there was a different word. I know there is some rule for that. Please, yeah, Senor.
Sure. There is a Sandhi there. And it's easier for us to say Gavo, because as part of the Sandhi, both are correct. But when we are chanting, it is better to say Gavo, because it is easier to chant that way. That's all. So there is a Sandhi rule. I'm not getting into the Sanskrit aspect of the rules here. But I will send you a mail. Not a problem if you're interested, yeah. Right? That's the reason. The ease of chanting.
I want to know the...
Sure.
A discussion comes up and nobody wants to agree on anything.
It's a Visarga Sandhi. So I'll send you the exact Sandhi there. Yeah. Anybody else?
Dhanyavad, ma'am.
Yeah. There's a question here also. Yeah, please go ahead. Okay. A question here, when we are talking of Guna Shudra, or Karma Shudra, why are we speaking about unskilled and semi-skilled but not skilled? The reason is any skill requires sattva and rajoguna is the reason, that's all, nothing more than that. That is why skilled labor has been left out, because then they would fall slightly under the Vaishya category also. Because we are talking of Guna Vaishya and Guna Shudra, that is the reason. Because skill requires some bit of rajoguna. Anybody else has any other question? Yeah, I can see. And Neil, you're self-muted. Go ahead.
Namaste, Mohode. My question is, what's the difference between Artha Bhatta and Arthartha Bhatta? They kind of seem similar to me.
Oh, okay. Artha Bhatta is actually negotiating for something in return. The last class I gave you an example saying that, you know, let me get distinction in this exam and I will go around the temple, I will do pradakshanam 100 times, 108 times, etc. Or I will come to the temple and break 108 coconuts. That is Artha Bhakti. Okay, the first one. Really gross. Artharthi Bhakti is, I'm starting a business venture, so I place my request in front of God that I must succeed.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay? Yeah. Let me see if there are any questions. Oh, somebody wants to ask a question. They are muted. Just one second. Let me go through it in order. Is there any spiritual benefit in rituals or karma kanda? Since God Himself talks about the importance of real spiritual surrender and remembering. Definitely there is spiritual benefit in rituals or karma kanda, right? Without that, we cannot have mental refinement and we cannot proceed. Many people will start out as Artha Bhaktas and then move up. So the karma kanda part and the rituals are important and are necessary. And as Swamiji says, some very few, maybe 1%, 2 people might have completed all that in Purva Janma and some little bit was left, so they get into this Janma and attain Mukti. But that is more an exception and we need not even discuss them. All other cases, absolutely important to do the rituals as per the Varnashrama Dharma. That's all. So if you are a married person and you can do Yajna, Homam and all, it is advised that you do that. And you go through mental refinement. Then, why did God allow so many invasions of India? So, okay. The law of karma says that at that point in time, the composite karma based on all the people or the population, that is what will determine the state of the country. Or, you know, whether there's going to be war, whether there is going to be just a small shake by the earth so that, you know, the million population is immediately gone. It can come in any way. It is a composite resultant force of all the individual karmas put together. Nothing else, right? If our spiritual interest is not shared by family members, it causes conflict in everyday life. How to deal with it, right? Like not wanting to attend spiritual discourse, another wanting to go to a movie. This is a difficult part, right? So you need Ishwara Anugraham even for attending spiritual classes. So every morning a sincere prayer in front of God will actually help you go through these, cross these obstacles. The Om Shanti 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 that we tell 3 times is for 3 types of obstacles, right? Adhyatmika, Adi Bhautika and Adi Daivika, 3 types. So, one of them is these kind of obstacles. So, a sincere prayer to God will slowly remove those obstacles and you can start attending without any difficulty. Right? How to match when the family members are in different aptitude? It becomes difficult to be in aptitude 1 in this materialistic world. Absolutely right. But remember that we are not even talking of age to come to aptitude 1. I in fact picked 70 years, 65 years because by then the battering in the world has actually relegated us to such a position that we are only Sattva Pradhana personality if we have had exposure to this teaching. Now, if you have not had exposure to this teaching, I can see a lot of old people waiting for death actually. Every day they want to die, right? Instead, if we have exposure to this teaching, we will at least spend our time either listening, if our ears are not all right, reading, or at least thinking, mananam, nididhyasanam, if we have spent 10 or 15 years before that attending classes. So we are not even talking of the younger generation where maybe the attitude will be very different because they want to go to party, have fun and eating out. All this culture is very, very predominant and we have to satisfy that also. When God never says that, don't do that. God says you will grow out like the gold biscuit story, right? Slowly we will grow out of it or like the balloon. The child will ask for a balloon but no longer ask for balloon as the children grow into adults, right? Yeah, somebody else also wants Visarga Sandhi rule. I will definitely post it here on the site itself, right? Nilanjana wants to ask a question. She's muted. One second. Let me just unmute you. Nilanjana? I don't know why you are not able to. Yeah, you're self-muted, Nilanjana.
Am I audible now?
Yes, yes.
Okay. So this is a very interesting session that, you know, you are taking. Thank you very much for that. The question that I have is, in the Varnashrama that you've explained, see, as an individual, at times I'm very reflective. I want to study at that point of time. And then at times I'm very dynamic. You know, I want to go and do good for others. But at times I'm dynamic. I just want to focus on myself. And then at times I'm very lethargic. So I see that all the four aspects of the Varnashrama that you mentioned are there in me to some extent. At some point of time, something dominates, you know. So when the sattva guna dominates, I possibly go for a silence retreat for 10 days. But then after that, I come back to work and then, you know. So I was just wondering what is the dominant thing then in me? It's more of a self-query kind of a question.
Yeah. See, this is natural and this is what happens to everybody. As one is younger, right, you have more activities in the middle age. Rajoguna is predominant. Right? There is no problem. But as you start out on the spiritual journey and gradually the mental refinement starts setting in, the Sattva Pradhana personality might actually occupy 95% to 97% of your personality trait. So then your mind becomes receptive to focus on spiritual education most of the time.
Okay. So it's a journey, like you said before also, it's a journey, I guess, with age and lifetimes, it's going to mature.
Correct. And the most important thing is we are all blessed if we actually can manage to focus on the class during class. There are many people who cannot focus on the class during class. So I thought I should tell you that because if you're doing that, that itself is a wonderful blessing of the God, right?
Thank you very much. It was very beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah. Is there anybody else? I'm just seeing. One second. And I'm also going to just check one last time the questions here. I am not clear of the meaning of the 15th shloka of chapter 4. One second. Oh, okay. The 15th one is Krishna is addressing Arjuna specifically here. He's saying that in the past also, ancient seekers of liberation, mumukshubihi, have been doing this. They have been performing actions and have been liberated while performing actions. Therefore, you Arjuna, you also please do what your Kshatriya parampara and your forefathers have done. So, this is specifically addressing Arjuna here. And what it implies to the larger population is that you should not run away from action because you are, you know, after spiritual pursuit. That is not meant by this, but you are supposed to follow the karma yoga way of life. Right? So, I think I've covered all the questions. Yeah, okay. So, I think I'm done here and there are no more hand symbols also. Okay. So, thank you then. We will meet next week. Namaste.